Good morning. Welcome to our Thursday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Been talking and praying this week about what does your life say? Taking a look at your example that is lived so that people wouldn't look down on you. And so taking Paul's instructions to Timothy, and as Paul tells Timothy not to let anyone look down on him because of his age, but to set an example. And we're looking at some of those areas that Paul lists and what that looks like. And today we're going to talk about an example in a life of love. And what does it look like? Where do we learn? How do we know what this life of love ought to be? Well, we know it because God first loved us. And we know what love is because of His love. We often hear people quote in a very popular, common verse for a long time, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible, of John 3:16. But we want to look at 1 John 3:16 instead of the Gospel of John, the first epistle or letter of John, just there before the book of Revelation. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." When we consider the sacrifice of Jesus that was made solely for our benefit, there was not a need for Him to be punished for sin or for anything else in that regard. But it was His willingness, His submissiveness to His Father, His Father's will, we find in Scripture, is that no one would perish. Well, in order for no one to perish, there had to be a payment for sin. Bible's clear, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So what we earn is death. And for that to be paid, well, it precludes our ability to have eternal life. If we're the one paying. And so Jesus could come and live life as one of us, could conquer death, pay that penalty. Not for Himself, because He didn't know it. But as we live in Christ, and Christ lives in us, that bill is marked paid in full. And the reason is love. And God says that's the kind of love that our life ought to say to others. I care about you enough that I'm willing to serve in a way that cost me something. Even my life. Jesus says that greater love has no one than this, that a person would lay down their life for a friend. And He says, oh, by the way, you are my friends. He said, for a good person, perhaps some would die. But for an enemy, that takes a different kind of love. A love which comes from God. And sometimes we forget that it's not just dying for others that exemplifies our love. In fact, sometimes the more difficult part might be living for others. Because that requires continued effort. If we were to sacrifice our life in some way that others could live, it's a great sacrifice, but it's done. Sacrificing our desires, our wants, our likes and dislikes for the benefit of someone else can be an ongoing thing. And our nature, our flesh gets tired. And you've heard it, you might have even said it. How long is this going to go on? Why is it always about them? And it's said that more churches split, more people leave churches and church fellowships based on an unwillingness to lay down their likes and dislikes, their preferences, their interest for the benefit of someone else. Then whatever splits or leaves because of doctrinal issues, I don't like that color of carpet. I don't like that style of music. I don't like the way the preacher dresses. I don't like... The list goes on and on. And our love for God and our love from God ought to motivate us to choose to like and love one another enough to learn to get along. If every detail of our life was identical, if every preference and like and dislike matched perfectly, we would be a pretty boring group. But when we give of ourselves and say, that's okay, I don't care for that, but I can live with it because I love you. When we lose that emotional bond of love, we become irritated over the smallest of things. The course I'm currently taking has talked a little bit about that in the marriage relationship. He says, many people believe marriages fail because of a lack of communication, but he says, actually, it's the lack of communication is a symptom. And the cause is we've lost that emotional bond. Our love for one another, in that sense that we're no longer willing to sacrifice for one another, leads to a breakdown of communication because we no longer care. And I think, in experience and observation, the great marriages aren't people that have learned to like the exact same things. They're people that have learned to love one another, not in spite of their differences, but in the midst of their differences. And the body of Christ is designed by God to be His family. We're called the bride of Christ. And the problem isn't that the communication is broken down. It's that we've lost that emotional bond, and so we no longer talk to Him. We no longer listen to Him. And we set the example in love when we begin to understand that love is a decision. And the more that we decide to love in a sacrificial way, the more that it changes how we feel about a person. And we kind of get it backwards. We get it mixed up. We think our feelings ought to dictate how we treat others. And so we hear phrases, well, I fell out of love. Well, no, you've chosen something different rather than keep a commitment, rather than sacrifice. And God's desire is that we set an example of love for God, of love for one another. And not an example that we create, an example that was set by Jesus. And we imitate. And so today we have opportunity. By our actions and by our words, but many times our actions do speak louder than words. To say to others, I value you even more than I value myself. And it's not about putting ourselves down. It's not about making ourselves the bad guy in any situation. It's about lifting others up. It's about elevating them. It's about real love. It's about godly love. As we've been praying this week, you may have heard in the prayer times itself that I've been praying for a friend, Aaron, who had a massive heart attack early Sunday morning. Today, I particularly want to ask that we would pray for a miracle. Specifically, that he would wake up at least enough to reassure his wife that he's still there. And if he needs to rest more to continue healing, but to just give her some comfort. And reassurance that God's still here in the midst of this. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God that loves us. We know what love is because you first loved us. And God, I confess, we don't do it well. We struggle with loving the way that Jesus loves, the way that you love, the way that we're supposed to love. And God, we become selfish, and we dig in our heels, and we think life ought to be all about us. And we rarely say that out loud because it sounds bad. It sounds bad because it is bad. But God, today, help us to grow in that emotional bond that's formed by a decision to consider others better than ourselves. To elevate them. To sacrifice not only our life, but our desires, so that they would be lifted up, so that they would be cared for. And Father, may we learn more of what it looks like to be like Jesus. And as we learn, may we put that into practice. God, in all of our relationships, whether it's our family relationships, our church relationships, our work relationships, our school relationships, our recreation relationships, whatever they might be, help us to set an example in love. An example that lifts up Jesus. God, today I continue to pray for Aaron and all of those that are helping him, the entire medical team. I pray for his wife and his family. I pray for a miracle that he would wake up, to reassure his wife that he's still there. And whether that's a momentary waking up for reassurance and he can rest and heal, or whether he wakes up and stays awake and the healing continues, I just pray for a sense of peace and comfort on that family. Father, it's beyond my comprehension what medical staff and teams can do. But I also know that it's beyond their comprehension what you can do. And God, I pray that they would continue to work together with you to bring healing to this man. And Father, I pray for a physical healing that allows him to continue life with his family. I pray for that miracle that comes about in a way that you are honored and glorified. Father, I pray that your will be done in this, and I pray that the prayers of myself and others are actually being offered according to your will. You are a God of life. I pray for his relationship with you, as well as the relationship of his family with you, that it is strengthened through this. Father, as we learn to love, may we love one another whether we know them well or not. Because Jesus loved us. He obviously knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But even with that knowledge, he loves us. So God, today I pray that in all things we would lift up Jesus so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. This has been our Thursday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.